Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black, intern Bryce, the gang's all here. The next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. How are we today? Two thumbs up around the room. Cody McClure?
Doing fine, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Monday edition, talk sports. Nice day. I just got here into town.
Oh, you just got back, like, right now?
Yeah. I just timed it out perfectly. I woke up at 7:15 a.m. Central Time, and that was enough time to get a shower in, get a nice little continental breakfast at the Hampton Inn, and make my way back over to Knoxville. I got to say, the Continental at the Hampton Inn is pretty good. You know, they've been running the commercials with Reese Davis, showing their newly renovated Continental Breakfast. And I thought all, you know, during football season, I'm like, why are they advertising their Continental Breakfast? This is dumb. Nobody cares about this. Reese Davis, really? Hampton Inn Continental Breakfast? Like, he's not getting a catered breakfast or, going to some nice place to eat breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, it was pretty good. They have steak and eggs. Pretty good. They're like scrambled, like peppers and onions, and they're fresh. It's not like the powdered eggs. You know, turkey sausage. The waffle maker's pretty cool. I mean, it's a
good. What would you have done if you'd have ran into like a little traffic? Because you timed this out pretty perfect. What would you have done if you'd have ran into traffic?
I would be late. Yeah, I would have been late.
Okay. Well, so thank God there wasn't any traffic then.
I mean, I woke up at 7:15 a.m. That's about as good as I could do.
Yeah, I didn't know you guys were staying in Nashville. How was your concert? Was it fun? Was it worth the price of admission? Is rock and roll still alive?
Well, so it was at the Municipal Auditorium. We got there.
That doesn't sound like a rock and roll type of place. The Municipal Auditorium kind of feels like I wouldn't go to a concert at the Municipal Auditorium, especially a rock and roll concert.
Oh, okay. Well, so we pulled up and, I was looking for the parking garage, trying to find good parking around there. Found us a nice parking garage. Plenty of spaces. The parking garage was nearly empty. There were just a few cars in there. And so we pull in and, you know, I was about to go up to the pay machine to pay it. And it was $20 to park at this place, mind you. And we get up there, and there's a group of women standing there, and I'm about to slide my credit card in there, and they say, you guys aren't going to that concert, are you? And I go, yeah. I mean, that's the plan.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, they canceled. So I said, you're kidding, right? You know, I assume the lady's pulling my leg, trying to pull wool over my eyes. I was like, I've seen this rodeo a few times before, man.
Sure.
You're not going to pull one over on me. You're not going to trick me. And she's like, no, fatty, they canceled it. I was like, well, first of all, you don't have to talk about my weight just because I don't believe you. And I was like, are you serious? So she pulls out this article on her phone. It was the USA Today platform. I guess it was the Tennessean or something. You know, they're all the same. And she shows me, show's canceled. Mm. And then I look up their Twitter account, and sure enough, 5 hours before the show, they released a statement that they were canceling the show. So
drove all the way to Nashville to see a band, and they canceled on you.
Drove to Nashville, yes, from Knoxville.
But you still stayed in Nashville, so I guess you couldn't get a refund on your hotel at that point, and well, figured might as well.
Yeah, so we decided to just make the best of it. I mean, Brandon's mom hooked us up on a hotel room.
Oh, okay.
She does something where she gets, you know, some points. People get like these points. They get these discounted hotel rooms.
Sure.
So it was like a cheap hotel, nice Hampton Inn, and we couldn't get the refund. So we thought, well, might as well just make the best of it. So went out to a couple of bars, saw a dear friend of mine.
Okay. So rock and roll's dead, huh?
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like if a band cancels a show for anything less than like open heart surgery, like the Stones had to do, whatever the hell happened to Mick before his show, I feel like that's a pretty unacceptable thing in the rock and roll landscape.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
I don't want to say I was judging you for going to see somebody named Greta Van Fleet or whatever the hell it was.
Just because you don't know them doesn't mean they're not a good band.
Well, I mean, I feel like them canceling the show kind of proves that hypothesis. I mean, you're getting ready to say the same thing that...
Well, I got to say, I mean, for, you know, I couldn't help but think about if it was 1972, I can't imagine some band back then just not going on stage. They went on the stage on heroin back then.
Right, so I mean, like, it's not me.
Where
not,
are all the heroes?
It's not me not knowing who they are. It's them canceling a concert.
Well, they're a good band. They're a good band. So I was reading into it.
You can't do rock and roll music and be soft.
Maybe kids these days, maybe they are soft. They're all in their young, they're all in their 20s. I mean, they're, you know.
I would just have been all over the refund if I were you. I wouldn't want to drive back to see a band that was too sick to play.
Well, I was going to say, at first,
Their tummy hurt, so they canceled their tour.
I was going to say, at first, I was very disappointed.
Rock and roll.
I was disappointed. I had lost some respect for them, but then I got to reading up on it, and it turns out I think they just have really poor management. I think their management, like, runs them into the ground, and they don't get time to rest, basically. They play, like, every night, and the singer... I guess he got sick or something. You know, weather change. I mean,
I feel like Nashville's one of those cities that you're supposed to fight through, though. Like, cancel Topeka.
Look, the Rolling Stones would, but you know, yeah. I mean, this ain't the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
So they are a good band, though. I just, you know, and we were excited to see them, and they had another.
By the way, like, I don't know if I believe your hypothesis because October 15th, October 16th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Okay, I guess they're going overseas, so never mind. I was going to say, then they don't do another show until November 3rd, but this is, I guess, in the UK, so never mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it sounds like they're taking a pretty good time off to recover, but...
I don't know.
Yeah, they're going over to the UK.
I mean, that's poor management, though, to cancel a show the day of. Because I couldn't help but think, like, I felt like an idiot. We were over there. I felt stupid that we were there, and the band's not even playing. Like, we should have checked it out or something, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Who would have checked same day to see, like, well, let's make sure they're still playing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't help but think about the people that had drove there from other places. Or, you know, like the people that didn't have Twitter and didn't have anybody to help them and went up and paid the machine and everything.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce was saying he's from Michigan. They're from Michigan.
Yeah,
I wonder how many people drove down 75 just to go spend the weekend in Nashville and watch them there. It probably was a pretty good amount.
I saw one person on the internet said they came down from Toronto.
Yeah,
which seemed a little excessive. It's more on them, I think, if you're going to drive all the way from Toronto to Nashville.
We talk about Nashville being a city that people want to go to. So I mean,
yeah,
if you're in Toronto, like, hey, I've always wanted to go to Toronto, or I've always wanted to go to Nashville. I love Greta Van Fleet. Only Van Fleet I acknowledge is Fred, but either way.
It's Van Vliet, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've always called him Van Fleet, so he's still going to be Van Fleet. Well, anyways, yeah. I'm sorry your concert didn't work out.
Well, we made the best of it. As I said, I saw a dear friend, had a nice continental breakfast, hit a couple of bars. It was all right.
I'm happy for you.
Although I did pay $5.50 for a 12-ounce can of Miller Lite. So that was a little ridiculous. And it wasn't even on Broadway. It was off Broadway, 2nd Avenue. $5.50.
You guys had exciting weekends. You did that. Cam went down to Baton Rouge to watch Florida LSU. Intern Bryce was inside Neyland Stadium. We'll get recaps of the rest of their weekends at some point during the show.
Did you have a big weekend?
Nah. It's a little voluntary action, man.
To go down to Chattanooga?
Watch some TV. I made a little day trip to see the baby yesterday. Just there for an hour. Drove longer than I was there. And
did it like you?
It just slept the whole time. It's the thing about babies. They sleep.
You saw it, though.
She didn't see me. She kind of opened her eyes for a second when I was holding her. And just like,
is that a grown baby?
Yeah, kind of just peeked at me and then just immediately closed her eyes back. It's like, maybe if I close my eyes, he will leave.
He looks like me, except older and taller.
Yeah.
So did you talk to it, you know?
I said, hey,
baby.
Hello, little baby.
How are you?
Oh, you're so cute, little baby.
Pinch the cheeks.
No. Rub the hair. Lot big head of silky Indian hair.
I wonder how that happens. How do babies come out with the hair like that?
I don't know.
I've always wondered about that.
I don't know. Mm.
So it's a good baby?
It didn't bother me.
Did it cry any?
Not while I was there.
That's good.
It didn't do anything except sleep.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Swung back up, ate lunch with my dad on the way back up to Knoxville, came home, and watched the Titans. So no, my weekend wasn't very good. I guess one team in Tennessee won, though. We'll talk about them next. We'll talk some Tennessee football. Pruitt's addressing the media now. We'll see if he says anything interesting. We'll get off and roll and talk sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. We'll be back on the other side. Back on the program, you want to start with Tennessee beating Mississippi State, getting a win? We don't have very many positive things to say usually on these football Mondays, but Tennessee did take care of business, beat Mississippi State. We put it as an 8.5, or at least I did, on the must-win scale, and they won.
Yeah, it's a nice positive Monday for once.
How about that?
It doesn't happen often. Out of the 6 times this year, it's only happened once until now. But, hey, that's a good win. Solid. Good finish. Good performance. Great. Glad we're done with it.
I hate that. I don't want to make this, but, like, the happiness of the Mississippi State games almost got washed away by watching 3 hours of the Titans not be able to score. Like, I wish they both could have won. That way I could be really happy. I'm still happy for the Vols, obviously. Like, that was a big game for this program. I really think it was. Like, it showed some flashes. You had an aggressive defensive line. You had, what, 7 sacks? Is that what Tennessee ended up with, 7 sacks?
I know they had 6, but I don't know about the last one. They had at least 6.
There was another one at the end of the game where it looked like there was a sack. Maybe he was considered a quarterback draw. I don't know. I'm going to call it 7 sacks. 7 sacks, 10 tackles for a loss. Like, that defense looked like I think Jeremy Pruitt wanted it to look, right? Like,
yeah.
Now, he got helped by Mississippi State's quarterback play not being very good at all, right? Just being downright bad. He got helped by that, but.
That guy with that gross beard.
Tommy Stevens.
I thought it was the other one.
Well, Tommy Stevens was awful in the first half. The second guy came in and was not as bad. Still wasn't good. You know, that's something I saw with Mississippi State all year. I remember watching their game against Kansas State. I was like, man, these guys stink. Like, that's why I wasn't willing to write this game off or say that Tennessee can't win this game.
Right. Yeah, those quarterbacks are no good. But still, to shut down the running game, and even without Mississippi State, they didn't have any quarterbacks to help. But we shut down that running game. Kylan Hill, he was rushing. He had 119 yards per game coming in. He was the SEC leader
right.
in rushing. And against Tennessee, he had 13 rushing yards.
11 carries for 13 yards.
That's his lowest output since 2017 against Alabama.
Tennessee did a lot of good things in this game, defensively especially. Offensively, I thought they did what they had to do. It wasn't pretty by any means, especially after, you know, Brian Maurer made some plays but also made some freshman mistakes, throwing a couple of bad passes. On the first interception, I thought he got fooled. I thought he didn't actually read the defense. He just threw a timing route, and the second defender didn't chase the short receiver. He just stayed back in the end zone and made an easy pick. And the second interception, he was maybe concussed. But otherwise, you know, I thought he helped open up the pass game. And, you know, then whenever he went out, Garantano did a good job of handing the ball off and hit a couple passes when he had to. Like, the bomb on the sideline to Keaton was a nice throw. It's a really, really good throw. Keaton made a really nice play. And then on the touchdown to Tyler Byrd, that was a really, really good schematic play from Jim Chaney. You get a short completion to a receiver that has some good speed, and you have your other two wide receivers on that side peeling back to block and seal the edge, and Byrd's able to take it for a touchdown. That was an awesome play. Garantano made that throw. Wasn't complicated, but it was what you have to do when you are the better team trying to win. And I really do think on Saturday, especially, Tennessee was the better team. Like, I don't have a problem with Jeremy Pruitt's conservative game calling at the end of the first half where he just kind of ran the ball three times and kicked a field goal. Now, maybe if Samaglia misses that field goal, we look at that a little different. But Samaglia has been really good this year. I have no problem trusting him kicking a field goal at the end of the half when you're getting the ball back at halftime because it felt like Mississippi State wasn't going to score many points. So I'm okay with not putting Garantano in a position to turn the ball over and lose confidence or turn the ball over and, you know, let Mississippi State try to score before half. I thought Pruitt called a good game. Pruitt wants to be a defensive ground-and-pound type of team. And in the fourth quarter, game on the line, Tennessee went on a five-and-a-half-minute drive that ended up in a touchdown that, you know, kind of showcased what good offensive lines can do, what good, you know, balanced teams can do, which was hand the ball off, get 5 or 6 yards a pop, bust a 12, 15-yarder, and then when you have to, make a quick throw and let your receivers make a play, and Tennessee sealed that game.
Run on first and second, throw on third. As long as you get it, you can run on first and second again and throw again on third.
Yep, and you milk the clock that way, and especially, like, you know, if you're getting 4 or 5 yards, 4 or 5 yards a carry, or at least getting down to third and two, third and three, that really helps, well, you know, the passing game. You know, you can take a dump down to Tim Jordan out of the backfield and let him run for a first down. You can, again, throw a little short pass to Tyler Bird and let him make a play. Shout out to Tyler Bird, by the way. Great game from him. We've been waiting for him to make plays, and it just hasn't worked out here. That was a recruit that everyone was really excited about. Thought, this guy's a stud. This guy's going to be a playmaker. Whatever side of the ball he ends up on, hasn't happened for him so far, but he made the game-clenching play, and it was cool to see. I'm glad he stuck with it. I'm glad, you know, glad he's still here. Glad he didn't chase somewhere else to get a chance to play. Like, he stuck it out, and, you know, he was rewarded at least for one day with a nice touchdown catch.
Tyler Bird, nice to see that touchdown to put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at that point you're still a little bit worried. I got a little bit worried when Mississippi State had closed the gap, but that shut it down. That sealed the win, and you knew they wouldn't be able to score twice.
Right.
I mean, maybe they could get one on you, but you knew they weren't going to score twice. They were awful. Our defense came to play. It was, all in all, I mean, it was a good game. I didn't like Pruitt's play calling at the end of the first half.
Okay.
I thought we should have went for it, but hey, you know, get out of there with the win. The defense was playing great, so.
Yeah, and in other situations, Cody, I would always agree and say, hey, you need points, but, like, I thought early on you could tell Mississippi State didn't have anything for Tennessee offensively.
Like, yeah, it's just that I've seen us lose games like that before.
And it could have came back and bit you, like I said.
We had 50-something seconds.
And three timeouts.
And we're across the 50. I mean, I feel like you at least try to go for it there. But, you know, Samaglia's been good.
That's a part of the conversation is, like, when they put Garantano in, they show that they don't have a lot of confidence
in
him.
Was it 9 straight runs?
Yeah.
Chaney called?
And then I believe when they finally did pass it, it was 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage to Jennings. Like, hey, can you maybe make a play? Now, the next throw was the deep bomb, but it was still a safe throw. It wasn't, hey, read something across the middle. It was, hey, look to the left, keep the safety off, go back to the right. You got one-on-one coverage, make a throw. And to Garantano's credit, he did. But even if that's picked off, it's a punt, right? So it was still a safe throw. Chaney, I thought, called a good game. Like, again, being conservative against other SEC teams maybe won't work. But on Saturday, it was obvious that the defense was ready to play, that Mississippi State could not block Tennessee, which was crazy. Like, Tennessee's defensive line all of a sudden was awake, and Pruitt's sending smart disguised blitzes from Bryce Thompson up the side. Like, it was a masterful defensive performance. So I was okay not being aggressive there. With that being said, if Tennessee goes 3 and out when it's 13-10 and Mississippi State gets the ball back with 6 minutes down 3, you would have had some second guessing there.
Yeah,
but,
and I was a little scared. I was afraid that was what was going to happen.
But Tennessee's players and Jim Chaney did the job. That way it doesn't get questioned. You look and say, hey, you took care of business. You put together a nice, time-consuming touchdown drive, as good teams do, and you shut the door.
Yeah, and the O-line, I mean, they started to gash them in the fourth quarter.
Shout out to Will Friend.
Shout out to the offensive line.
Will Friend is a friend to us.
started gashing him. It was nice to see. It's nice when you run and they know you're going to run, and yet Tim Jordan gets 9 yards.
Yeah, like, you know? I mean, in the second half, in the fourth quarter, whenever you're like, hey, we're going to try to turn these clock, we're going to try to turn this clock and just get yards and first downs, it is demoralizing for a defense. We've been on the other side of that, right? Like, to just have the offensive line move you. You know, they've been leaning on you all game, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, wait, Tennessee has some big guys on the offensive line. They've actually got this defense a little worn down. And maybe the running back rotation that, you know, has been a little weird. Like, I don't know what's happened with Eric Gray, but, like, hey, the running back rotation keeping both Ty Chandler and Tim Jordan fresh. You got kind of a two-headed attack here as you are just running, and they're both fresh, and they're both rested, and they're both running pretty well, and you're able to salt that game away.
It was nice to see, and now everybody's going to start talking about, well, you know, if we just split Missouri and South Carolina, this could be a bowl team.
I don't think you have to do that voice. I mean, I think that's a legitimate conversation.
I'm just saying it's other people having the conversation, so I did a different voice because
that'll
be the conversation with other shows.
The
too.
Voice kind of insinuated that only nerds are saying that.
Might make it to a bowl game.
That
now.
Only losers are saying that. You know, before, you know, last week,
they're losers.
Last week, I said if Tennessee wins this game, you could start having that conversation.
I mean, that's my goal.
Tennessee won it, and I think you can have that conversation now. Like,
yeah,
it sucks
just
that
go 7-5.
I mean, it sucks. I mean, you can go 7-5. You could
8-4.
I don't think you're going to go 8-4, but
nah,
you're
not going to go 8-4.
You could go 7-5. Like, I don't think there's going to. And look, I'm not saying you will. I'm not even saying you'll get to 6. But I'm saying that you can feel that you have that chance. Like, besides this weekend against Alabama, who are you afraid of on the schedule?
Nobody besides South Carolina and Missouri, and that's why.
I mean, are you're afraid of South Carolina and Missouri?
No, I'm not afraid of them, but here's the way I'm looking at it. Kentucky, Vandy are so bad, you have to beat both of them.
Yeah.
You should beat both of them. You'll be better than both of them. And UAB, I don't know how their year's going, but you got to beat UAB. So that puts you at 5 wins. So if you break it down like that and you do what you're supposed to do,
right.
All you got to do is split Missouri and South Carolina.
And South Carolina's at home.
Right.
And I know they just beat Georgia on Saturday, but to me, that's more about Georgia losing their mind and making Jake Fromm throw the ball over 50 times, even though it wasn't working for him. Like, that's on them.
I am still scared of Will Muschamp.
That's fine. And look, Tennessee has not beat Will Muschamp, so I'm not going to say that you are wrong in that. I'm not scared of South Carolina, but like, I'm not like guaranteeing a win over South Carolina, if that makes sense. Like, I think Tennessee we'll go in that game maybe as 3-point underdogs, 3.5, 4-point underdogs. Depends on how this week goes. Depends on how injuries, you know, if Brian Maurer's healthy and whatnot. Like, I think Tennessee fans should expect to beat South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean,
especially at that game. I guess we should get the time on that game soon, right?
Yeah, that should happen. Will that happen today?
Don't we usually get that
on Monday? Usually. Or is it Tuesday?
No, it's usually Monday, I'm pretty sure. So, like, we should kind of get an update on what time, at least time window. Maybe we don't get the exact time, but
what time are you hoping for?
I think it'll be a night game.
That's what I want.
I think it'll be a night game. I mean, it's definitely not going to get the 3:30 action.
Well, these noon games are all right. We've been all right in these noon games.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe Florida, a 4 o'clock. It might get the 4 o'clock SEC Network window. I don't know.
I don't like the 4 o'clock game.
Okay.
Noon or
so
night.
You're rooting for noon?
Noon or night? I mean, night would be cool, obviously. I'd prefer night. Everybody likes a night game.
It might be cold by that time, but
I like cold.
Either way. Like, I think Tennessee should, especially if it's a night game, should have a pretty good crowd, and you'll probably see South Carolina fans travel because they're rallying behind Will Muschamp now that he beat Georgia. So, like, that will be a fun game. And I think you can look at that as a Tennessee fan and think, hey, beat South Carolina, then all of a sudden, hey, we can rally and make a bowl game, which if you told me before the year we're struggling to win 6, you know, we all would have said, no, boo, this sucks. But if you'd have told me after you lose to BYU and Georgia State, I would have said, oh, wow, that's a pretty good coaching job by Jeremy Pruitt and his staff. And so far, the biggest compliment I could pay Jeremy Pruitt is that the team seems to be getting better.
They haven't quit.
They haven't quit. But not also, you know, not only have they not quit, they have also gotten better.
They had a lot of opportunities to quit too. It'd be hard not to quit after the way the season started. So
yeah.
So shout out to them. good for them. It you know, it'll be a big game for South Carolina too, though, because South Carolina.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. They probably didn't think until this past week that they were going to a bowl because their schedule's so tough this year.
Right.
But now South Carolina's sitting even. They got, you know, one.
It's still going
to
be.
They got three wins now. They're going to lose to Florida. It'll be 3-4.
If they lose to Florida, it's still going to be tough to win a bowl. It's still going to be tough to make a bowl game for them. But the Tennessee game could help.
That would be huge for them, though. Because if they come in at 3-4 and beat Tennessee, then all they got to do is beat Vandy and App State.
Yeah.
And they could very well beat A&M, although they got to go on the road. So,
sure.
I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, I think it's a big game for bowl eligibility, you know?
Yep.
It's big for them and big for us. Talking about bowls. How about this?
Florida, I believe, is only favored by 7.
Where are we going? Tax Slayer?
This weekend.
Outback? What are we thinking?
I think people just take the Birmingham Bowl at this point.
No.
The Liberty Bowl.
No,
just like,
we travel well. We travel well.
If we get to 6, people are, you know, the fans will be fired up and ready to go support the team and like say, hey, good job on the season.
Carolina 4 p.m. Is that
official?
I don't know.
That was my guess. That was gonna be 4.
Yes, it is. Boom. Okay. Boom. 4 o'clock.
That was my guess.
4 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So you get a nice little game, a day of tailgating, and maybe get out before it gets too cold at night. I think 4 o'clock's okay. Better than noon, I think, for atmosphere-wise.
Yeah, I'll take it. It'll be dark by the time the game's over. Is that going to be after the time change? You know that's coming soon.
That's coming soon. It's always around Halloween. So I would say, by next Saturday we'll definitely have it. It might be that night, though. It might be that night, actually. We'll catch a break. We'll find out when the time change is. Talk a little bit more Vols. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Talk Sports is powered by Lloyd's Electric. This football season, don't let your lights get knocked out. Do the smart thing and call Lloyd's Electric Service and their LES Facility Service Division. And learn about how they provide complete generator sales, service, and installation in Knoxville and the surrounding areas. At their second location up and running up in Morristown. With great financing options available, owning a home generator has never been more affordable. Commercial, industrial, and residential, Lloyd's does it all. 865-692-6700 or online at LloydsElectricService.com. Lloyd's Electric Service, your business, our priority. All right, so the South Carolina game is set for 4 o'clock. How are we feeling about that? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs up from Cam and Bryce. Cody, you all right with the 4 o'clock? Thumbs up from Cody? You're allowed to use your voice if you want to.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up? Okay. Sounds good.
I mean, I'm cool with it. Yeah, that game will end at night. You know, like I said, it'll be a little cold, be getting cooler. Fall's here. Yeah, see, you got your shirt hoodie again. I broke out a jacket for the first time this morning.
Okay.
It's kind of a little cowardly. A little chilly when we left the hotel.
Kind of cowardly of you, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still wearing shorts. So it was, it was chilly. It was 7 o'clock. It's cold then. It was like 40-something degrees.
I'll be interested to see what the atmosphere is like on next Saturday against South Carolina. Bryce, you were in the building on Saturday inside Neyland Stadium. On TV, it didn't look very full. Like, the upper deck looked really sparse. How was it actually in the building?
Yeah, it was pretty empty in the upper deck. I thought the lower level bowl was pretty packed, but okay. From the student section, I couldn't really tell how the rest of the stadium was, but the student section was pretty electric, I thought.
Really? Okay, because at the beginning of the game, I saw people tweeting about how the student section was fairly empty, but it filled in as the first quarter went on?
Yeah, the first quarter was definitely a little bit empty, but I looked up above me. I was in the second row, and it was pretty much completely full from what I could see, and everybody cool. was really into the game. Once Garantano went in, things started kind of getting a little bit quiet, but...
Yeah. Man, I feel bad for that guy. Like, he is a broken man, it feels like. Like, he comes in, and you can hear the groans. The people
God.
Yeah, like, I mean, the people I watch games with in my chat room are all like, oh, damn it, Garantano's in, we're going to lose.
I mean, that's what kind of everybody was thinking. You
I mean,
know?
It wasn't. And I also want to say, like, it seemed like the offense kind of had that same mentality. The offense was kind of like, oh.
And also.
Man, this again, the receivers start being like, oh, man, we're not getting the ball ever again today. We're not getting the ball.
Just the luck of Maurer coming in and making these good throws, and you think you finally got your quarterback, and then all of a sudden just, you know, falls on his head.
I don't want Maurer to – I said this on Voluntary Reaction, so this is kind of a repeat, but I don't want Maurer to lose his aggressiveness when throwing the ball. Like, do I want you throwing interceptions in the end zone? No. Especially not the first one. Like, the first one, you got to make sure that you have the proper read there.
Two picks in the end zone.
The second one wasn't so much the read. It was just like – that's not something you can do in college football, right? Like, the first one, he threw in a double coverage in the end zone. That was bad.
He was going to Juwan all the way.
Yeah, right. I mean, he had made up his mind before. He was going to go to Juwan, going to give him a chance to win a jump ball. Yep. Turns out it wasn't a 50-50 jump ball. It was 2-on-1, and it wasn't even close.
Callaway was wide open over there.
The second one was, my guy's open in the back of the end zone. This is going to be easy. I'm going to float it to him. Boom, touchdown. You're playing in the SEC now. Like, you're in a different league. You're not in Ocala, Florida. You know, you're not playing against high schoolers anymore. You have to realize that these safeties have closing speed and can jump high, too. Like, I think that's one that you can look and say, that's a freshman mistake. He will grow out of that one.
Yeah, he'll have to learn all that. But, like, I'm cool with, as long as we win the game, let him learn.
Right.
You know? And if he had thrown that one earlier, that could have been a touchdown pass.
He thought, hey, my arm's still strong enough. Yeah. I still got a little bit of window. You don't in the SEC. Like, he'll learn that. I'm okay with it. But like I said on Voluntary Reaction, if you do that in the fourth quarter and it costs us a game, I'll probably say, hey, bro, you got to chill out a little bit. But I will say, like, even now, if this guy's going to be the future at quarterback, or at least for the next, you know, rest of this year and the year after, and then we'll reevaluate. You gotta start taking care of yourself a little bit better when you run. Like,
yeah, he almost. I thought he was paralyzed. I just assumed, like, this is we find our quarterback and now
he is paralyzed.
He's the next Stephen Hawking. I mean, that's it completely what was going through my head. The guy flips up and lands right on his head. Broken neck. Boom. Life over.
Man, wouldn't that have been something? They had to get the stretcher out and then.
Yeah. I was ready for it. I mean, I was.
You have him come do the ceremonial coin toss next year
in his wheelchair,
voice powered wheelchair. Yeah.
I don't know why he would lose his voice in that situation, but
no, he has his voice powered wheelchair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like that's how Stephen Hawking got around, right? I mean, he could talk. Like
he had other things wrong, didn't he? Didn't he have like?
Didn't he actually like think? I think couldn't his wheelchair like read his mind? Wasn't there something with that? Am I making that up?
Really?
Am I making that up?
Did it just like, say everything he thought? Because that'd be.
Am I making
rude.
That up? Like there was something like where his mind was controlling it. Maybe.
I love the new Bill Burr special where he talks about how negative he was.
He was kind of a jerk,
and he's like, could you not just be nice? Did everything have to be negative?
For some reason, I feel like he was thinking things, and his chair would either spell it out for him on his little keyboard, or I don't know. We'll get Cam. We'll get the research team on that.
Okay, so apparently. He was able to communicate by using a small sensor, which is activated by a muscle in his cheek.
Okay.
He would use that to type characters and numbers.
So maybe not his mind, but sort of.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't speaking, it was like reading his...
Yeah, he would type it and the computer would like read what he typed, basically.
He would type it with his cheek though, right?
Yeah.
So like I wasn't off on that, right? Like I get credit for that one. Was it mind control? No, but it was like, it was reading his mind and like nerves and twitches. Kind of crazy.
Garantano into the game. Ha, 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 ha. Interception. No, he played pretty well. You know, he made a couple throws. It was a good second half. He did what he had to do.
Brian Maurer needs to take care of himself, though. Like, I don't really want my quarterback spinning in the open field around defenders. Like, it was cool when Josh Dobbs did it. I don't know if I want Brian Maurer trying it. He doesn't necessarily have that same breakaway speed to pay it off with a touchdown.
But he doesn't take sacks. I like how he gets out of the pocket and at least tries to make something.
Yeah, like I want that. Yeah. But there has to be a point where you're like, okay, I've got the first down. Boom, here comes
the
slide.
Figure out the slide.
Yeah.
Figure out the slide. He's young. He's got to learn these things.
He is. And like I said, I'm not mad about anything like that. I do think it's something he's going to have to do if he wants to survive in the SEC. Like, learn to slide. Like, get the first down, get down. Make sure you get the first down, though. Like, don't do like Garantano did against Georgia State, where you slide 2 yards short of the first down marker. Get the first down, then go down. Like, don't get flipped over on your head. That's not a good look for anybody.
Yeah. I love seeing the picks in the red zone, though, in the end zone, because the people that were with me were getting mad because he threw two picks in the end zone. I'm like, you know what? Yes, it sucks. I hate throwing picks. We give the other team the ball, but we're in the red zone. Like, if you can throw picks into the end zone, that's fine.
We've made some progress. So, that's the ultimate moral victory. Like, hey, that was a terrible interception, but hey, at least it was in the end zone and not at midfield.
Yeah, and like, you're just giving a bad offense the ball and they got to go 80 yards still. Right. So like, sure, we'd love to have some points, but hey, if we can get to the red zone, some of those are going to be touchdowns. So,
but
I'm,
as Tennessee
cool with
progresses
it.
And gets better, like, you want to see those kind of get limited. But
yeah, of course.
I think, you know, I don't want him to get neutered. I don't want him to be afraid of making mistakes. We've seen Jarrett Garantano get neutered.
Literally?
No, figuratively. On the football field. Like, we've seen him, like, you know, you've seen it with Marcus Mariota, too. Like, before yesterday, Mariota hadn't thrown an interception because he's afraid to make mistakes. He's afraid to throw it in. He, you know, has a lot of the, you know, similarities to what Garantano does in terms of, like, hey, I've been beat up by my offensive line not being able to block, so now I'm kind of scared and I'm creating new problems for myself. But, you know, he looks scared to make mistakes. Now, he's thrown a couple more picks this year. You know, the BYU one comes to mind. But at the same time, he hasn't got the confidence to try to anticipate throws or let one rip in the end zone.
You brought up Mariota.
Yeah.
Did you see Vrabel's comment just a couple minutes ago?
No, what was it? Did he announce Tannehill as a starter?
Well, they asked him why Marcus Mariota has regressed since Vrabel arrived in Nashville. And Vrabel said,
that's a good question.
He said, I don't know. I guess I'm just not a good coach. That was his quote. It's a real quote.
All right. Self-awareness.
That's I don't know. I guess I'm just not a good coach.
That's the first step to redemption, meathead Mario. Just admit you're not a good coach. Don't get me started on that. Like, how the hell did he get the job? He was a defensive coordinator for like 1 year, and his defense was ranked 31st in the league. How did he get hired to be a head coach?
I don't know.
Which, by the way, how do you feel right now if you're one of those teams who hired a Sean McVay disciple? Seems like the league's kind of figured out that that Rams offense. How do you feel if you hired a guy who was just like randomly assigned to Sean McVay's staff, like a was his name Zach Taylor in Cincinnati? You're staring 0-6 right in the face, and your offense looks terrible. But you're like, hey, he hung out with McVay. Speaking of Brian Maurer. And his hit. Pruitt said he didn't know Maurer had a head injury until he came to the sideline. I don't know how you could. He jumps up, gets the call, etc. Pruitt then goes on to say players hit their heads all the time.
He got his bell rung.
I guess we could stop the game and check every player after every play, but I don't think we have time for that. Nothing like your old school coach talking concussions.
We don't have time to check them all out. He got his bell rung. Happens all the time.
What a dumb redneck, but it feels good after a win.
He had some nice quotes today.
It feels good after a win.
He had some good ones.
If Pruitt starts winning a little bit, maybe he'll talk a little bit more to the media and give us some content. All right, stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Jeremy Pruitt says he didn't know Tennessee had orange pants before Saturday. I don't know why, but that quote is cracking me up.
He's got some good ones today. He's killing today.
I didn't know we had orange pants. I asked, and they said we had them, so we wore them.
There's no way it's that simple, is it?
What a big, dumb redneck.
Why would he ask? Why would somebody... Yeah, hey, I was on Twitter, and they were talking about creamsicles. Do we have orange pants somewhere that we could wear? What if we wear them every game now? Now that he's discovered it,
We're 1-0. We got our we got an SEC win in them.
I love the all orange. It gets a lot of hate. Most people don't. I feel like most people are with you, but I like them.
I like the white tops, orange bottoms.
Yeah,
I like that.
Maybe we can wear that to Alabama.
No, we can't. Let's not do that. We don't want to lose the luster. We gotta have a uniform combo that we feel invincible in. If it's the orange pants, we don't need to break them out this week. Let's wear the smoky grays this week.
Didn't we have? I think we wore the orange pants in the 09 game when we went down there with Kiffin. I think. Maybe not. I'll look and see. It doesn't matter, but I'm still going to look and see because now I'm curious.
I think Kiffin just quote tweeted the video, so you could probably go and check out the Mount Cody block field goal.
We had the orange pants.
Do you believe Jerry Pruitt didn't know we had orange pants?
The
fact that we wore them in 09, he was watching the Alabama-Tennessee game, I would say.
I don't know. Well, he probably doesn't remember what pants we Tennessee
Yeah, you're probably
was wearing.
Right. He probably doesn't care about britches.
I mean, he's probably just messing around with the media, having a little fun today.
Showing his sense of humor.
He got a win. Yeah. He's having a little fun.
Yeah.
I didn't even know we had orange pants. So I went and asked him. They said we did. I said, hell, we'll wear them. Heck, I'm sorry. Excuse me. He said heck today, too. Did you see that quote?
No.
I'll find it.
Apparently, Brian Maurer took reps in practice, according to Brent Hubb. So he is back on the practice field. So that concussion. Well, you know, as someone points out, I believe it was TK who tweeted in, how do we feel about Maurer supposedly having a concussion, but then at UT, in UT Football Picks, is posting of him jumping into the crowd and celebrating the win. Like, he was partying in the locker room. He was partying in the crowd after the game, and I'm gonna guess he was after the game partying somewhere on the strip or somewhere where all the team probably got together. There was he didn't look very concussed.
He's probably just a little confused the whole time. Got his bell rung.
Now look, I will say, and you know, some people mock the idea of it. I will give Jerry Pruitt some credit for still continuing to recruit Garantano. Whenever he turns the starting job over, it would have been easy for Garantano to go ahead and transfer and get ready for Rutgers next year. But Pruitt kept telling everyone who would listen how important he was and how he's going to help us win football games and that he is still going to play and all this stuff.
And he did.
You saw, you know, does Tennessee win that game if JT Stroud has to come in? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, because the defense was playing so well, maybe. But felt better with a fourth-year quarterback than a guy who hasn't really ever played any meaningful snaps. So I'll give Pruitt credit for continuing to recruit Garantano after making the quarterback change and, you know, Garantano for being a team guy and staying here and staying locked in. And, yeah, maybe his body language looked a little despondent at times in the game, but he made plays and Tennessee won.
I liked seeing him happy. He's been through a lot here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't. I hope no one is like personally rooting for this guy.
They are.
I mean, I know some people probably are, but like, even
I don't like the tattoos
and the people who like want to see. Well, they don't like Brian Maurer if they don't like tattoos. My man's
got
a full sleeve. They asked.
Yeah, they like Maurer.
They asked Brian why he got so many tattoos. He said, "I guess there's just a lot of stuff I've been through."
Well, Maurer's a southern white kid from Ocala, Florida. Garantano's got that old
with a strong arm.
He got that whole Jersey thing going on. Yeah. You know, I don't like him. He's from up north.
Yeah.
Got an earring.
So I'll give Pruitt a lot of credit for, like I said, continuing to recruit Garantano, for keeping him there on, you know, in the quarterback locker room. Tennessee needed him, and he helped Tennessee win a game.
So, could we just throw him to the Wolves this week?
Yeah, like, hey, you've earned this start this Saturday, bro. Like, you've earned this opportunity to succeed.
Here's the biggest opportunity you'll have this year. You're the starting quarterback against the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
Go for it. I mean, because then you kind of preserve Maurer for that stretch run where you might, you know, you should be in every game. And,
The thing is, Tennessee's – I don't feel like this is Tennessee-Alabama in the past, where it feels like you can't block them and your quarterback will die if he plays and you're just not going to have any success offensively. Like, Ole Miss scored a bunch of points on Alabama, moved the ball, so did South Carolina. Like, don't get me wrong, we're going to get killed.
But it'll be their receivers.
It'll be their offense scoring 50 points on us versus us just not being able to get the ball past midfield. Like, I think the offense will be okay. I'm okay if Maurer is cleared and he plays. I don't worry for his health unless he starts running around trying to be Superman. Like, I'm okay with him going and getting a taste of this rivalry and trying to keep the offense improving, because we're not at the point where we can rest him and then just throw him back in against South Carolina and say, here you go, go win this game. Like, same line of thinking against Georgia, right? People want to guarantee him to take the beating against Georgia, but I think Maurer playing well against Georgia in the first half especially helped lead to confidence, you know, to help get the lead on Saturday. Like, I do think he can get some positive reinforcement against a top team, playing in a big game, playing on the road in front of a big crowd. Like, that could pay dividends against Missouri, right? Like, hey, this guy's already been on the road. He's played at Florida. Now, you know, only a couple of drives against Florida, but he played at Alabama.
Maybe get some confidence against Alabama. We could have a big day offensively.
Like I said,
we could come out with 10 to 17 points. I mean, I think our offense will move the ball.
I think we could score 17 to 24. Like I said, I think Alabama's going to score 51, so like it's going to be a beatdown, but I do think you could do some things offensively.
Yeah, their games have changed. They don't
same as LSU. I mean, like they realize it's easier just to take all these pro prospects. Hey, it's cool to have shut down the secondary, but man, it's really cool just to have NFL receivers and NFL quarterbacks, huh? Isn't this much fun, everybody?
I wonder why nobody can have both.
I mean, you can. Clemson has both. I mean, Alabama still has the first round defensive talent too. Like, they have both.
I know, but those teams give up points though. You know,
the last team that's had both is Florida State.
2013. Yeah, they did have both.
Now, granted, I mean, they went through an ACC schedule with it, but they had both. They scored 50 and held you down to like 10. So, like, I mean, they
it's one of the best teams ever.
They were dominant on both sides of the ball. Now, again, against an SEC schedule, or excuse me, an ACC schedule, but either way. All right, hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. We'll switch gears, talk some NFL football, maybe even a little baseball playoffs. Maybe. Stick with us as Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.